the Victorian Country Hour with Warwick Long on ABC Radio Victoria.
A retaining staff, attracting the next generation of drivers, making it easier to drive into Melbourne, and the impact of poor quality of regional roads on drivers, all up for discussion at the Livestock and Rural Transporters Association conference at the Move Museum in Shepparton. Annie Brown sat down with a few of the association's members to talk about these big challenges for the industry, how to solve them and how to make things better for such an integral part, not only agriculture, but how Australian society ticks. Evan Whitburn from Deniliquin has been part of the industry for 40 years. He told Annie about some of the challenges he's seen.
The equipment we use today is far better than what we used back then. And obviously, on the livestock side of it, the facilities, the yards, the ramps, the washout facilities, and a lot of that is all due to what, people at the association have done over the years. They've fought for a lot of things like that. Technology has helped a lot, yeah.
I imagine the truck's pretty different, from when it first started.
Definitely a lot different, yeah. Yeah, well, like we just spoke about before, some of them didn't have air conditioning or anything in those days, but, now they are a lot more comfortable to drive today.
Well, thanks for having a good chat. And, Graham, a bit of an introduction to yourself.
Graham Howell. I operate a livestock transport business out of Avoca in central Victoria, running 7 trucks, been in the job over 40 years. But like you were just saying, definitely the things that are most evolved in the industry are definitely the trucks themselves. Most of them have got microwaves, fridges, bunk coolers, heaters, actually heaters while the truck stopped, all those sorts of things. And the trailers themselves, how they evolved from years ago with the old 2-deckers and 3-deckers to 4-deckers and then B-doubles. And then now into road trains and that sort of thing, and just the safety gear and that in the back of them, especially the cattle crates, walkways and self-closing gates so the driver doesn't have to be in there with the stock and all those sorts of things. So that's really, really changed over the years for the better.
Trying to bring in the next generation was a topic that's been brought up today at the forum here in Shepparton, well, just briefly, but I'm sure it's a big issue that's often thought about in the industry. As two people who have had a lot of experience, what's kept you so long in this industry, and how do you, what would be your message to the next generation to try and entice them in?
I don't know. I think that the thing that keeps me ticking in the industry is there's a bit of comradeship with the livestock side of guys. Not that I'm in the livestock job at the moment, but I still have a lot of friends that are, and you still talk to a lot of people are. But probably just the country side of it. Over the years, I have had to diversify at different times through droughts and stuff, and going more on that line haul, interstate type work. And you find that you never truly appreciate it as much as when you are, you'll go to a producer's place and you might load his sheep or his cattle or his grain or whatever, and they're lovely people. You'll go back and have a cup of tea when you're finished or whatever, and you just sort of, you've got that camaraderie with the country people. Country people are really good to deal with, and that's sort of, I don't know, I like that side of it. Yeah, the connection, I suppose, to the producer side of it. Yeah.
I got to say, it's very friendly here at the forum today. Everyone's come up and said hello to me and had a little chat. Like, it's a very hospitable group of people here today, like I'd say, as an industry.
Yeah, well, the country, that's just part of what we do, I suppose, isn't it? Everybody lives for the ABC country,
It's our daily thing, every lunchtime you flick the radio onto the ABC or, even the morning country hour there at 6:15, you listen to it to see what's going on, and, we always like the market reports and those sorts of things so that we know what's going on in our industry too.
Well, let's talk about some of the major challenges for the industry, and I might bring in Joel Haberfield. You're from the association. Joel, welcome to the Country Hour.
Yeah, thanks very much, Annie.
So what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing the rural transporting industry at the moment?
More just staff retention, trying to keep young blokes, male or female, in the industry, trying to keep them excited, trying to keep them keen. We've got the NHVR on our backs. We've got industry standards on our backs. We've got animal welfare on our backs. Trying to keep young guys retained in the job. not just blow in and blow out. That's probably one of the biggest things. Like, you know, safety, safety and reform are good, but when they go too far, it turns people away from our industry.
So you're finding it's hard to retain the younger drivers?
Not hard, but it's definitely a lot bigger challenge than what it was probably a past gone by. When I first started driving, I find it interesting. These two blokes have been in the industry 40 years. I'm 36. So I find that interesting that blokes have been in a lot longer than me. But when I first started, you were just happy to be out there driving the truck and loading stock. You're on the farm. You're getting breakfast from the farmer's wife. Now you've got to make sure your book's right. You've got to make sure that the farmer's stock are right. You've got to be a vet. You've got to be a driver. You've got to be an accountant. And the driver's got so much on their backs. A lot of the young ones just want to get out there and drive trucks and cart stock.
That sounds a lot more to it than that,
absolutely. And then they're dealing with these big heavy vehicles going into cities and urban areas now with traffic jams and cities shutting down to suit different events and that, and the drivers are left high and dry trying to navigate their way around things.
So some of the big issues when you mentioned getting in and out of the city there, so this year you're doing a bit of a trial with some of the major tunnels in Melbourne, so the Burnley Tunnel and the Domain Tunnel, sir.
Yeah, the Burnley Domain Tunnel, we were lucky to have a very good relationship with Transurban. We were having issues on the back of the Formula One with trucks going down St Kilda Road, and we brought that to Transurban's forefront, to their mind, and they were great, they were fantastic. The doors were closed, and then all of a sudden, with a good amount of data from the association and issues that we're facing, Transurban come to the party, and we've now had a trial run that's been going for, I reckon, 6 months, and give or take a few very small instances, we're having a phenomenal run. And that alone takes the stress off the driver. I went to Melbourne in the car there a month ago. Now, I'm a very familiar driver with Melbourne. And you get so stressed trying to work out where to go. Can you imagine having 70 ton behind you with limited experience trying to navigate through Melbourne? It's a challenging thing. So what we've just done is we've taken a stress load off our drivers and we're lifting them one at a time. And that's what we've done with the tunnel.
So previously you couldn't go through the tunnel. Why was that?
Oh, it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare taking trucks around what they call Power Street and City Road over the Swan Street Bridge and back onto the MCG, the tennis, all these big events were massively impacting our drivers, and it was such a stressful thing. Not only was it stressful for the drivers, but it started becoming an animal welfare issue. We had animals on South Bank Boulevard, on trucks for longer, extended periods of time with peak hour traffic. We had drivers being infiltrated in their trucks by animal activists with cameras and the sticks, the GoPro sticks. We actually had a driver had a GoPro stick jammed through his windscreen when he had his window down on the Swan Street Bridge. So it was actually quite disturbing for the drivers to go around there. And we had a lot of older blokes that didn't want to go through Melbourne. They just will not go through Melbourne. And there's a couple of companies in Queensland that we deal a lot with that are ALRTA members, big companies in Queensland. They won't send some of their drivers through Melbourne. They just won't go. They'll bring them down to Wagga, they'll bring them down to Forbes, and they'll send them back. They'll get us Southerners, Graham and us, to bring their cattle down because their drivers won't go through Melbourne.
How important is Melbourne, though, for rural transporting? I mean, I guess most people think of the country when you think of livestock transport, but they have to go in and out of the city as well, don't they?
I haven't got the figures on me, but it would be a significant amount of stock come from all over Australia into that, call it the hub of Melbourne, whether it be Geelong, whether it be Pakenham, Dandenong, Brooklyn, Seymour. There's a massive amount of stock around Australia from WA, from the Northern Territory. This time of year, there's a lot of cows coming out of the Northern Territory back into Melbourne. So it is a massive hub. And them Northern Territory carriers, they won't bring their trucks to Victoria. They'll cross-load them at Port Augusta. There's a cross-load facility over there provided by IOR Fuels. They'll cross-load the trucks over there because they won't come through to Melbourne. So Melbourne's a massive hub. It is huge. Like, there's only two abattoirs in Brisbane. There's one just north of Sydney. There's one just south of Sydney. And I could count seven in the reforms of, call it the Geelong to Pakenham area. In that 100K radius of Melbourne, there would be 8 to 10 abattoirs probably in that area. So Melbourne's a massive hub for livestock transport.
I want to ask you all a bit about, country road quality is a massive issue across the state, but as truck drivers who are out on the road a lot, what are your views on it? What are you seeing?
It's getting worse daily, the lack of maintenance that's going on. You can see the asphalt actually cracking. Every time you get a rain event, the water gets under it. Next thing, there's a pothole. They throw a bit of hot mix or something in. A lot of times it only lasts a week and it's all out. And it's the number of roads that are falling apart. Even you know, because they're not resheeting the tars coming through the top, so that roads are getting shiny and flat. So when you do get a rain event, they are becoming slippery. You got holes. Even like I drive the Western Highway, it's awful. And then you get onto the B and C class highways. They're worse without the back roads and that. So yeah, you can just see that the number of holes that are coming, and that, you know, the money's not there to fix them. There's just no one going around fixing them. You know, I could go back a few years ago, and we had a CRB at the time. We had a depot at Avoca, and they went from the other side of Lexton to St Arnold, and from Ararat to Newstead, and they were on the road all the time. You used to see them on the road. You can drive them highways now and you never see a patrol truck. They used to grade the edges 4, 5, 6 times a year. Basically, after every major rain event, they'd leave it 2 or 3 days to dry out, and then they would grade the edges. The edges aren't getting done. They're getting bad, so that if you ever drop off, especially with a loaded crate, you know, they lay over, and, you know, it's just starting to get really bad everywhere.
What impact does it have on your trucks and your businesses?
We done a study in regards to a 12-month average. Our maintenance bill has gone up by 29% year on year for the last 8 years. Our maintenance bill there's nothing to hide. Our tyre wear's down, our fuel's up because we're drivers running off the gas trying to keep them on the road. Our tyre wear's down, and I actually believe that the animal welfare has slipped due to the road conditions.
So you mean like it's disrupting the livestock in the back?
Yeah, drivers jumping on the brakes trying to miss potholes. Coming up here, I drove up the back way up through Graham's country, coming up this way to come to Shepparton, and you jump on the brakes trying to miss potholes. Now, you shouldn't have to do that in 2025. We should be able to sit on 80 or 100 k's on a country road and be comfortable. Now our drivers are now fighting trucks. Our drivers are fighting these big bits of gear to keep them on the road.
Your concentration, it's harder on your fatigue. Your concentration is, you know, trying to get over on the other side of the road to miss holes and make sure there's nothing coming. It's you know, your fatigue issue, it's really bad because of the road situation.
The road conditions are a direct correlation to fatigue. So the vehicles are fatiguing, the livestock are fatiguing, but most importantly, the NHVR and our governments don't realise the road conditions are a direct, not an indirect, are a direct correlation to driver fatigue.
That's Joel Haberfield from the Livestock and Rural Transporters Association of Victoria. Ending that chat with Annie Brown at their annual conference in Shepparton. You also heard from Evan Whitburn from Deniliquin, Graham Powell from Avoca, with a great insight of all of those three fellas, just having a talk about really what it's like to be a driver, navigating the city, the issue with the roads. You don't often hear from drivers. We see them all the time. What an insight. You're listening to The Country Hour. It's 19 past 12.